Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So timing, they say, is everything. Whether it's telling a joke, making a dramatic entrance in a stage show, or popping the question, timing is everything. Think about it. When the timing is right, people laugh at your joke, gasp at your entrance, or smile radiantly in response to your proposal. And when the timing is off, they are just as likely to gasp at your joke, smile at your entrance, or even laugh at your proposal. Timing, as they say, is everything, which is what makes this wedding at Cana such a scene. The timing goes all wrong. No, it's not that the bride or groom speaks out of turn. It's not that the pastor mispronounces names or confuses the vows in a four weddings and a funeral kind of way. It's just that the wine ran out too early. We probably shouldn't be all that surprised by that. After all, John tells us that it's the third day of the wedding banquet. 3 days means a lot of wine. And if it were a particularly thirsty bunch, you know, graduates of Gustavus, or I thought I'd give a little time to sink in. Or if the weather were particularly hot, then we can imagine very well that they would run dry. Now, if it were some of us, we might just whisper nervously to some friends and ask them to make a quick run to the local wine shop and pick up some more. But in this day and age, running out of wine too early isn't just a little embarrassing, it is a disaster. Wine isn't just a social lubricant, you see, it is a sign of the harvest. A sign of God's abundance, of joy, of gladness, and hospitality. And so when you run short on wine, you run short on blessing. Timing is everything. The wine has run out before the wedding has, and it is a catastrophe because a wedding without wine spells a marriage without hope. To make matters worse, Jesus' mother doesn't seem to have much of a sense of timing either. At least that's what Jesus seems to think. "They have no wine," she says to her son. Now, we don't know whether she was close to the families of the bride or groom and so just wanted to help out, or maybe she was particularly sensitive to this kind of social faux pas. What we do know is that she expects that her son can do something about this scenario. But Jesus seems to think it is another case of bad timing. "Woman," he responds, taking an oddly formal tone with his mother. I mean, I never would have been able to get away with saying that to my mom. And yet Jesus can and does. "Woman," he says, "what concern is that to you or to me? My hour, my time, has not yet come." Jesus seems to have a very clear sense of timing. But Mary, his mother, knows better. Rather than raise an eyebrow at his tone or offer a counterpoint to his assertion, she instead turns to the servants and tells them simply and clearly, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, it could be that, like a good Jewish mother, Mary knew her son would eventually come around. Protest he might, but eventually he'll listen to his mother. Or it could be that Mary knew how to tell time better than her son realized. She was, after all, the one who brought him into the world, the one who suckled him as a babe and watched him grow, the one who dried his tears as a child and now is following him as an adult. And so perhaps we shouldn't be surprised if Mary recognized that whenever her son was on the scene, it was no ordinary time and all things were suddenly possible. Well, you know the rest of the story. Jesus instructs the servants to fill 6 large stone basins with water, and then to draw some of that water out, water that's now been turned into wine, and take it to the steward. And once again, timing is an issue. Most hosts, you see, serve the best wine up front, wanting to make a good impression, and then save the cheap wine for later, when the palates of the guests have been, shall we say, sufficiently dulled so as not to notice the sudden drop in quality. But this host, the steward assumes, has bucked the traditional timing and saved the best wine for last. And suddenly, this couple has six large basins, 180 gallons of fantastic wine, more than enough for even three more days of celebrating. No one now could leave the wedding thirsty, for abundance and blessing overflowed. Timing is everything, not just in this scene, but across John's gospel. In fact, there are two kinds of time that dominate John's imagination. One is the time of clocks and watches. It's the kind of time with which we count and track the everyday events of our lives. It is the time that is measured in minutes and seconds, hours and days. It's the time we spend standing in line, or clocking in at work, or sitting at the stoplight, or waiting for a diagnosis. It is mundane, ordinary time, and it beats on relentlessly until that time when we close our eyes and finally escape its dull, predictable cadence. But there is another kind of time at play as well, a special, extraordinary, even royal kind of time where all that is predictable fades away and what emerges in its place is sheer possibility. This is God's time, and it punctures through the ordinary canvas and clock of our lives at unexpected intervals to reveal just a glimpse of the divine, of God's presence amongst us. Sometimes we get hints of that divine time in our everyday lives. Maybe it's that first smile of a newborn baby, or the sun emerging after days of rain. Maybe it's the joy of receiving an acceptance letter or job offer, or the delight brought on by someone's unexpected kindness. Even the smallest gestures of blessing can jolt us out of our dull routine and remind us that we are not alone and that there is more to this life than we sometimes realize. And that is what Jesus is talking about here, and even more. When Jesus speaks of his hour, you see, he isn't speaking of a day or time on his calendar. Instead, he's talking about that time when God will reveal God's glory through his cross, resurrection, and ascension. The time when God will be accessible, available to all people, once and for all, always in grace. That time, that hour, Jesus says, has not yet come. Or has it? Once again, pay attention to Mary, who seems to know what time it is better than we thought. For Mary seems not only to believe that Jesus can do something about this disastrous loss of blessing, but Mary actually expects him to. And John, the author of this story, seems to agree. After all, it is the third day of the wedding feast, John says, wanting to grab our attention. And in response, careful readers and hearers throughout history have asked, wait a minute. Did you just say it's the third day? As in, after the third day he was raised from the dead? That's right. Because whenever there is need and Jesus is on the scene, resurrection and new life and abundance are nearby. And knowing this makes all the difference. For every moment that we live in Jesus, Mary and John testify, every moment we live in Jesus has the capacity to experience God's presence among us. The music we hear and sing on a Sunday morning can grant us a sense of hope. An ordinary hug can convey unbounded love and blessing. The smallest donation of food or money can tip the balance between scarcity and abundance, just as a simple act of kindness can surprise us in the difference it makes. Everyone here at one time or another has experienced how even a smile, shared at just the right time, can shine light into the darkest places of our lives. Now, across John's gospel, Jesus does seven miracles, except John doesn't call them miracles, he calls them signs, because each one of them reveals something important about Jesus and his mission that John wants us to know. So here at the wedding of Cana, what we learn is that when Jesus is on the scene, anything is possible, and abundance bursts through scarcity every time. So what is it that you are struggling with just now? Illness, loneliness, uncertainty about the future, loss of a sense of purpose? Do you feel remarkably short on blessing, like the wine of your party has run out? Do not give up. Jesus is with you, promising that blessing and hope and abundance is just around the corner. But it's not just that either. It's not just what we need, but also what we can do, what we can offer and give. What talents do you have? What energy and enthusiasm might you offer? What love and kindness and encouragement can you share? Jesus will take these things, whether you offer them at work or home, at school, or your places of volunteering. Jesus will take them and multiply them in order to shower blessing on all God's children. Sometimes we receive God's blessings, and sometimes we get to share them. Either way, Jesus is always at work in us and through us, and always in love. Timing, as they say, is everything. So what time is it? 11:33 or so on a Sunday morning? Sure, but also more. Because according to Mary and John, and because of Jesus, it is also the right time, God's time, even here and now. So leave this place in hope and confidence, ready both to receive blessing and to give it, and prepared to make a difference in the world, because suddenly in Jesus, all things are possible. Thanks be to God. Amen.